Good morning, everybody, wherever you are sitting. Now, today we find ourselves in the lovely position of having a theme rather than an actual passage. And I love preaching from passages, but the theme does give us this kind of a bit of a wider scope. So what we're going to do, it gives us this space to reflect, and as Rosemary's just said, to meditate and to contemplate. So that's kind of where we're going with it. So today's theme is, what is man that you are mindful of him? Now, the phrase comes up in the Evangelical Alliance, okay? It's a statement of faith which is not acknowledges that we are made in God's image, that we have been given God's directive to care for creation, and then it says we are fallen way below his standards, as Rosemary's just prayed for us, that he has crossed and his judgment is on us for our disobedience. So that's where this bit comes in about our statement of faith, okay? Now, the passage I've turned to, and it's been echoed so brilliantly this morning, is in the Psalms, Psalm 8. Because Psalm 8, if you want to turn to it, please do. Psalm 8 has that little phrase tucked into verse 4. So it's part of this this psalm. And some translators have called it mankind, some have called it some have called it man, some have called it mankind, and some have called it humankind. So we're going to go with that last one, because I think it's more inclusive of just the female gender. I think that's more inclusive. So we'll go with that one. But before we read it, I do just want to talk about how we're going to do it, because we're going to do it differently today. Now, in the past 6 months, I've approached my Bible in a new way. And I've approached it through the way of Lectio Divina. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. I've basically been looking through it through this lens because it's enriched the way I've read the Bible. It's allowed me to contemplate, meditate, and it's enriched my life. Now, I think when a dynamic book, which is the Bible, meets dynamic minds, which is what you guys have all got, and I've got maybe a less dynamic mind, but you know, and when that passage stirs our minds, our bodies, and our spirits, then we have this potentially transformative space. So I'm trying to create some space today, because Lectio Divina, I'll talk about it in a second, but it really talks about us reading the passage with Jesus and the Holy Spirit reading it too. So it's a slightly different way of looking at it. Can I just ask, is anyone familiar with the Lectio Divina principle practice? If you have, can you just put your hands a bit higher, because I can't actually see them. So a handful of you are, which is fantastic. The Lectio Divina simply means in Latin, divine reading, okay? And it goes back to the 3rd century, to this guy, Gregory of Nyssa. Well, there's no photographs, but every picture has a hugely long beard, so we went with that one. He is credited with starting it, and then it was taken up about the 6th century by the Benedictine order. So this is a very ancient monastic practice. So if you think Shine, Jesus, Shine is old, this is way, way, way back. And rather than a theological and doctrinal discussion, which totally has its place, totally, totally, totally has its place, this is a different way of viewing the passage, okay? It's viewing it, as I say, with Jesus and the Spirit looking at the passage with us. It's looking at it as a living word. And Chris Wigram preached 2 weeks ago about the Bible being the living word. So this is just a different way. It's a dynamic way of reading, and I really hope it helps us. Lectio Divina, it draws on Jesus' tradition. So at the Passover, they read the Haggadah, which is the readings of the Exodus story, and they do this principle of reading, reflecting. So this is something Jesus would have been very used to, and I think sometimes we've lost it. It is the slow perusal of Scripture. I'll repeat that again. It is the slow perusal of Scripture, and it's going to be read a couple of times. And I think in our 24/7 lives, where we go rush, 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 busy, 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 I can't stop, I can't stop, I can't stop, that this is a really important principle. So this is how it works. We read the text. It sounds obvious. We read it with simply one question. What jumps out for me? What jumps out for me? Note in our minds what stands out. Then we ruminate. We chew over it. What might the text be saying to you? And ruminate, I couldn't get our Wi-Fi's down, but I wanted to get this picture of a giraffe. Has anyone ever seen a giraffe chewing the cud? Anyone seen it? Oh, it's amazing. This enormous neck, so you need to picture, chew, 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 swallow, count to 5, 6, and then whoop, up it comes again, and they chew, 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 swallow. Go and Google it, it's brilliant. If you've watched a sheep do it, you have nothing on a giraffe. That is the image I want you to get. Do we bother to chew over passages of the Bible? Do we? Or do we just rush? Oh, I know Psalm 8 is great. It's when David's saying this thing and it's brilliant. We'll just move straight over it. Does God have anything new to highlight today to you and to us? So it's a really brilliant principle. Then the third one is respond in prayer. And in the Lectio Divina, they say two things. You can respond in the quiet of your heart to God, or you can say in the quiet of your heart the words in the passage as a prayer back to God. So one of two things, you can do that however you like. And then we repeat the kind of principles. I've added in a fifth one, okay? Because I've added in this one, record, rest, recap. And by record, I mean pay attention and capture it. And I've done it. If you live with me, you know I've done a henna. I've got a henna tattoo box on my arm, and I write in it. And if that box is empty on a daily basis, I have not spent any time with God. It's as simple as that. So it's great when my family can go, it's empty. So I capture it there. If I have heard nothing from God, it's because I haven't spent any time with him. So I capture it there, and some of you know I'm painting in my Bible. I'm capturing it there. However works for you, it doesn't matter, in a notebook. But please capture what God is saying in the way that we go through. So this is how we're going to do it. John is going to read in a minute. He's going to read it through. And then he's going to leave. We're going to leave a few minutes. Where I want you, in fact, I'll leave it up there to remind you. I want you to then go through the ruminate, respond silently in prayer, and we'll leave four minutes, okay, just for that space. Then he's going to read it again. And then I'm going to share what I got out of the passage in the weeks before this. Is that clear, yes? So, John, would you be happy to read it for us?
Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. What is humankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. What is humankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
So now when we do Lectio Divina as a group, it's about listening to each other's, what each other has heard, because that's encouraging to each other. What I would love it is just for 2 minutes, if you're happy, you do not have to do this. If you don't want to, just sit quietly with God on your own. But if you're happy to turn to a person beside you or in front of you and just say what stood out for you, and then John's going to capture that in a minute. So just a couple of minutes to share together what stood out for you. Maybe it's an echo from something before, maybe it's a new thing, and then we're going to just capture it to encourage each other with what God has saying in the passage. So just a couple of minutes. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. I'm sure there's much more you could say. What would be wonderful is, I'm not going to bring the microphone around, but if you are happy to say a word or something that stood out to you, I will echo it back for people who are listening on the recording. So if you say this, and then John will just capture it. So don't be shy, because we're reading, this is collective wisdom, and it's really intriguing to see what God has shown you through that new reading. So yeah, so there's no judgment. Part about babes and sucklings and children praising God, and yeah, out of the mouth of babes. Thank you, John. So the wisdom of children's often more strategic thinking and not getting cluttered up. Thanks, Johnny. Helena. Fab. So basically the value, the intrinsic value of being made by God in his image, and then the tension of knowing what we know but not maybe really knowing it, because then behaving in a way that doesn't look like we know it, and that balance. Yeah, thank you very much. Joe. God is the God of community. So God of community, it doesn't say my God, it's our God. Thank you. Steve. Thank you. So we should be mindful of him. And we're going to come back to that a bit later. Thank you, Steve. Andy. Yeah, so Psalm 8's verses around the stars, their understanding, but their ability to be in nature is different from ours. So their connectivity, but less kind of scientific understanding. Thank you. Sarah. So crowned as carers of the earth, huge responsibility along with our role and our hugely high status. Thank you. Christy, yes. Yeah, so God is everything. He's in everything. He's created everything. Yes? Does that sum it up? Thank you. Louise. Mind-blowing concept of God's ability. God's created all and then has handed it over to us despite knowing what he would know. Just maybe one more, maybe. Catherine. That links beautifully back to John's point and Johnny's point, I think. The power of children, the power of praises of the most vulnerable, which is probably what David's thinking around that, yeah, establishing a stronghold. Thank you. And because we are a group, I'm sure I could listen to everybody would have something. There is no judgment on these. These are your revelations when you're sitting with God. And so what I bring you now, thank you, John, very much. What I bring you now is I bring it humbly to you. This topic is huge. You know, what is humankind that you're mindful of us? Is so big I could have gone anywhere. So what I decided to do was do the Lectio Divina on this because it was just too big. So what I bring you is my thoughts over the last 3 weeks. So take from it. There's lots of echoes. Rosemary's prayers were beautifully fed in. John's worship. So it's all been flowing. But I just think take what I'm giving you humbly as what I bring. So David, the shepherd boy who wrote this psalm, was lying looking at the stars and seeing the vast starry sky, as Andy said. He would navigate by the familiar stars and moon at night and by the sun by day. Now, I deeply appreciate gazing at their ancient faces, but I couldn't name more than two or three. If you want to name them, talk to Martin. He knows a lot, so does Andy. I don't. But how often do we actually look up and drink in the night sky? How often do we do it? And David saw something of God's majesty in the sky and couldn't help himself but worship. Because David is saying loudly and boldly, okay, that God is to be praised for his power and praised for his creation. But the measurements we now know are so massive, light years are so big, stars are so enormous, and earth is so tiny. But David couldn't get his head around it even back then, the fact that God, who flung stars into space, would even notice people, these tiny little specks of dust. Tiny pieces of actual stardust, because that is what we are scientifically. Almost every element on Earth was formed in the heart of a star. Planetary scientist and stardust expert Dr. Ashley King says this: it is totally 100% true. Nearly all of the elements in the human body were made in a star, and many have come through several supernovas. If you can see on the screen, I mean, look at what's in us. Oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, calcium, phosphorus, potassium, sodium, chlorine, magnesium. We are made up of stardust. I mean, that, to me, when I read this, was mind-blowing. So there's David lying in a body, praising God, unaware that his body was formed of the same things that he's thanking God for. Do you get that? He's lying in his body, on the grass, looking up at these stars, unaware that his body is made of the same stuff. Jesus' physical body shared in the nature of the stars which he created, and that blew me away. Jesus' physical body was created from the things that he had made. So that was just fantastic, phenomenal for me. So nature is mind-blowing, and it should cause us to worship and respond to God. And as far as we can tell, we are the only species who have the conscious ability to pray and worship intentionally. That word is really important, intentionally. Let's remember that and go back to what Helen has said. Let's not forget that responsibility. Like Sarah also said, with great privilege comes great responsibility, but we're the only species that we know that intentionally pray. And David is tripping out a bit with the size and power of the universe that he sees and the contrast with humans, and he can't get his head around it. But it isn't just the size. He can't get his head around the kindness of God. Because despite our puny size and our short lives, God is mindful of us, and he's kind towards us in all sorts of ways. I just want you for like literally 10 seconds to think back over your lives so far and recall, be mindful, as Steve said, of the kindness of God to you. I can recall sometimes, I'm sure you can. So that's also tripping David out. And he's right to acknowledge, David, that we are vulnerable creatures, okay? Each one of us here in this room is physically, morally, and mentally weak at times. Agree? Physically, morally, and mentally weak at times. I am. All of those. And the Bible talks about us being like fragile flowers, here today, gone tomorrow, and yet it says we are jars of clay, and inside that God has set his riches in us, because we're made in God's image. So we've got this incredible vulnerability. We are exquisite, but we are exquisitely short-lived. We are vulnerable. We are oh so vulnerable. And God knows this. And Jesus coming into human form understands that. Thank God for that. But it's this vulnerability that should keep us really close to God and relying on him. And we could take a lesson out of this dude. He's a hermit crab, and I think he's so cute. I don't know about you, but I just think he's so cute. They don't have their own shells. And Eve was explaining this to me the other day, so I'll do my best. They don't have their own shells. They are incredibly soft and incredibly vulnerable. Okay? So they borrow the shells of a dead snail or a dead whelk or a dead crab, and they crawl in and they borrow the protection. Because to go it alone without a shell is a risky business, and they do. They scurry out, get their food, and they run back in again. We need to be mindful of who God is, okay? He is our fortress and our shell. And we must be wary of thinking we can go it alone. We would do well to remember that fragility and that vulnerability that we need to hide in like a hermit crab into God. And also this beautiful symbolism about Jesus dying. We hide inside the shell, if you see what I mean, of our dead Savior. So we are vulnerable. But boy, God has given us such power. Such opportunity for choosing good and evil, self-sacrifice or selfishness. And humans, we've talked about this in the context of the day, are the gardeners and carers of the creation that God delights in. Care, balance, harmony and joy in enough for all of his creatures. And we have a job to do that he's given us. It's not a job we've taken on ourselves. He has given it to us. I'm very aware of the phrase Steve said, God is mindful of me. And I'm very well aware that that means God sees what I do, and he sees what I fail to do. We have to be aware of that because I'm answerable to him. And there are times when I think God made a terrible mistake trusting us with his beloved creation, like Louise said. There are times in the Bible when he says he's deeply regretful of the way that we have disregarded him. Look at Noah as a story. Look at it. And all through the Bible, when we ignore justice and ignore him, he's not pleased with it. So let's return to looking up. The Hubble telescope has given us magnificent views. They're a bit fuzzy because our Wi-Fi went down. Sorry about that, but you get the point. Take them in a minute. David had no understanding of this. I mean, isn't that amazing? And I just want to briefly look at a few of God's stars in more detail. The sun, our star, a million times the size of Earth, 93 million miles away. Earth as the golf ball, the sun is 15 feet diameter. Check out, it's really fuzzy, sorry, but the big one obviously is the sun. And the tiny little one with the arrow is Earth. So it's minute, we are minute. So, and the sun is one star in this cul-de-sac of space, and God is a star-breathing God. So yet, he's mindful of us and cares for us. And then we've got Betelgeuse, which is 427 light years away, and it's intense. And if the Earth is that golf ball again, then Betelgeuse is six Empire State Buildings on top of each other. And you can see the sun down there on the left. That's so you can see in comparison how massive Betelgeuse is. And yet, we are told that God cares and sees us. Try and find yourself on there. Now, this is where it gets really amazing. What about the pulsars? Now, these stars grow huge, and then they become supernovas. And then they collapse back in on themselves. I'm not a scientist. And they oscillate, okay? Because as they shrink, the same energy they have whips them round and round and round and round and round really fast. And we have we're going to hear now an auditory recording of one of these, just one of these pulsars making a sound. So let's just hear that. That's just one. If you go and Google, there are ones that sound like a whole stringed instrument. They are incredible. These stars are pulsing and making these sounds inaudibly to us. And then we have... Okay, so we want the whales singing. Just listen to this. Creation all makes a noise, and it all glorifies God. We say, there's this steward thing that Helen talked about, that we are to look after the voiceless. Actually, they aren't voices at all. It's just that we have forgotten how to listen. We must magnify when singing, and we must amplify all of God's creation to protect it. And maybe if we were a little quieter, they would be heard a little louder. But the expanse of worship around God's throne in his creation literally blows my mind when I read this passage. Because stars and whales and wolves and willows and wagtails and worms glorify him. And in many ways, the challenge to us is the rest of the animal kingdom is doing what God wants us to do, but which we fail to do, which is to be satisfied and to reflect the glory of our Creator by being human. We have language. This separates us from the rest of creation. And I think this ability to talk to God and to each other is what has led actually to our rebellion from God and our alienation from other. Because if you look at the book of James, it says the same language causes us to praise and curse, tear down and build up, sing and shout and bless and shame. We speak negative narratives over our own lives, or we can speak words of freedom and promise. And yet, despite our verbal and physical rebellion, we are told he is mindful of us. And despite our restlessness and greed and our vanity, he is mindful of us. Along with all of creation, he is mindful of us. Humans, we who make so much sound worshipping ourselves and often so little time reverencing and protecting his creation, he is mindful of us. It says in the Bible that he knows every sparrow that has fallen. Being made in his image means we have, as Sarah said, the greatest responsibility to love him, to worship him, to serve him, to witness to him by our actions towards each other and to all of his creation. Ephesians and 1 Corinthians talk about this. It talks about our identity being in Christ, who is our Savior and our self-sacrificing role model. And the outworking of this identity must happen in community, Joe's point. If we sever that from community, that's not what he's asked. We are to bear witness to our faith in community and his calling on our lives. We are called friends of God. Let's behave like friends of God. Jesus shows us how to live lives that reflect our true nature, which is the beloved children of God. Now, we're going to end this bit by this 4 minutes. I want you to listen. This is where they have put together pulsars, whales, and then you'll hear it. So just listen to what is being said. And then what's going to happen is we're going to lead, when I raise my hands, we're going to lead, join them singing, and then John's going to take over and we're going to sing the same song. So just enjoy what you're going to hear. You're not going to see anything, but just enjoy what you're going to hear. And then follow my lead.
Two pulsars slowed down and put in sync with each other. It's not a real groovy crowd, I know, but I know where I am, but it's kind of groovy if you hear it. And some of you want to nod a little bit, but you don't know if that's allowed at a reform meeting. And so you just do as the Spirit leads. But isn't that cool? That's just two pulsars. And so we're going to put the millisecond guys in there. The ones you just heard. Here they come. Singing. And we tried this, and you just got to know this is unedited. We just dropped this on, and this is what happened. This is what they might be singing.
How great is our God.